What was it that landed the rich man in the netherworld? What was it? Was it that he was dressed in purple garments? I hope not. I don't see anybody out there wearing purple garments today, but I imagine some in our state might be wearing purple garments today. I don't think automatically that's something that sends you to the netherworld. What was it that he was dining on fine things each day? I don't know about that either. I mean, I like to enjoy fine things. I think you do too. You like to enjoy fine food, fine entertainment. So what was it? What was it that ended this man in a place of torment? It's a good question that we always ought to ask, and really ask that question, what is the direction of my life? Because our lives are directional. And my decisions, my choices, they lead me in one direction or another. And really, there are those two directions that we know about from our faith, one that goes up and one that goes down. So what was it that landed this man in torment? Did he just wake up one day a terrible, wretched person? I don't think so. I don't think he just woke up one day a wretched person who ignored the poor and only took care of his own desires. I think it was probably one decision after another, after another, after another. It's a gradual place that we find ourselves in. A gradualness that leads us one decision to the next. And I've got a lot of backing in this. St. Ignatius of Loyola, he wrote these 14 rules of discernment. And he wrote rule number one and rule number two exactly in this way, that rule number one is the person who is going from mortal sin to mortal sin, and they're moving away from God. One decision after the next. But then rule number two is the person in the opposite place. They're making good, virtuous decisions after good, virtuous decisions. And though not perfect yet, they are moving in the direction toward God. And this is how we find ourselves. It's one decision after the next. I've been reading or rereading a book by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters. I think I've spoken about it before. It's a book that really is unique in the way it's written. C.S. Lewis wrote this book, and it's a series of letters from an uncle demon writing to his, you know, this is imaginary work, an uncle demon writing to his nephew demon, who's younger, and he's training him about these creatures. That's you and me. And he's teaching this younger demon how he can trap his patients. And he talks specifically about this, that you don't have to do grand things to trap these creatures. You just have to do small things. First, you might lead them by pleasures, but then even that, they'll let those go and they'll just follow whatever just to busy themselves. Maybe at first it's the pleasurable things that are taking them away from the enemy. That's what he writes about in here, that the enemy is God. At first it takes pleasurable things to take their attention off of God, but then anything will do. He talks about someone who found themselves like this rich man today. He said, "One of my patients, upon his arrival down here, said, 'I now see that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought nor what I liked. I wasn't doing what I ought. I wasn't even doing what I liked. I was just doing things that filled my time.' And then he writes onward to his nephew, "The only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy." Again, the enemy is God. "It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Those are convicting words of how we let ourselves be led decision by decision on this gentle slope. We don't just wake up terrible people one day. We don't wake up doing bad things, horrible things. We do it gradually, and this is the way that the true enemy leads us. We become complacent. We cut corners. We find ourselves like those the prophet Amos was talking about today, who are lying upon their beds, stretched out comfortably, eating, drinking, anointing themselves, doing all these pleasurable things, step after step after step, that lead us away from God, the only one who can truly satisfy our longings, who can give us his own heart. But the same is actually true in our journey toward God. It's step after step, virtuous decision after virtuous decision that leads us back to the one who satisfies us, back to the one who loves us. But we have to do it on purpose. We don't just accidentally wake up in heaven one day. We have to do it on purpose. And the Lord invites us to that place. St. Paul writes to Timothy today, "Pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life." One doesn't just pursue something accidentally. One doesn't compete or lay hold of something without effort. And so that's why St. Paul writes to Timothy today, "I charge you, I implore you, I beg you, I invite you, keep the commandment. Walk toward the light, walk toward the Lord instead of walking away from him." This is what we find both in the life of vice and the life of virtue. It's one decision after another. If I find myself in a virtuous place where I'm always doing the virtuous thing, I'm always going to Mass, I'm always feeding the poor, I'm always choosing the good, I'm loving my neighbor, I'm always praying, it then just takes a little effort under that to say, I frequently do those things. I frequently go to Mass, I frequently pray, I frequently feed the poor, and then just a little step under it, I occasionally do those things. If there's nothing better doing, I'll do those things. And then another step under it, I never do those things. Unless there's some thing that would actually draw me out of it, I never do those things. I go to Easter brunch, but I never go to Easter Mass. It's step after step after step that leads us away from God, but it's step after step after step that leads us back to him. So let's listen to those words of the one who loves us today. He is the one who can satisfy us. He's the one who can give us greater love, greater peace, but only if we cooperate with him. So brothers and sisters, let's turn to that Father today who loves us. Let's make one step today back to God.